Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Where our text will be verse 18. Whether from hearing it in the Sunday school hour or from seeing the outline for this evening, you are probably already aware that our message this evening is on the submission of wives to their husbands. If you will allow me a little lightheartedness and levity before we get serious, I will take the opportunity to make three disclaimers. Number one, there is no intentional connection whatever in the timing of this message about wives submitting to their husbands taking place the day following our delightful celebration of the wedding of Leah and Robert. Number two, there is no connection whatever between the fact that I am preaching a message on the wife's responsibility to submit to her husband and the fact that my own wife is not here. Number three, there will be no truth to the rumor that my reason for leaving the state tomorrow after preaching on the wives' responsibility to submit to their husbands is to escape the wrath of the wives of Redeemer Baptist Church. That said, from here on out, let's get serious. Hear now the word of the Lord in Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come now to this portion of this Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, where we have detailed application to specific situations in our lives as believers, we pray that you would help our minds grasp a little bit of your mind. But more than that, we pray that you will help our hearts be in tune with your heart, that we might unite with your purposes and your plan for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no question but that our text is directed to a specific group among the body of Christ, namely Christian wives. Therefore, we will be focusing on the wife's responsibility. However, before we do so, I must point out that perhaps as equally great impact of this text will be, or at least should be, on husbands, whether be current husbands or prospective husbands. Why do I say that? Because while a proper understanding of this verse does place a specific, a definite responsibility on every wife, the fact is that the wife's responsibility is grounded in and points to the role and the responsibility which God has placed on the husband, namely the role of being the head of the family. In other words, when it comes to marriage and family, the ultimate responsibility belongs to the husband and father. It is the husband whom God holds primarily responsible for how the home operates, because the Lord has designated him as the head of that household. It is the husband who will primarily answer to the Lord for how much or how little the Lord has been honored and worshiped and glorified in the home through his leadership of loving the Lord with all of his heart and his wife too. Through his teaching the word of the Lord to his wife and children at every opportunity. his urging obedience to the Lord at all times, and his confessing sin, repenting of it, and making the necessary changes for which such repentance calls. This truth that the husband is primarily accountable is forcefully illustrated in the Garden of Eden. When mankind first fell into sin, as we find in Genesis chapter 3, and you might just want to turn there momentarily, the command not to eat from the forbidden tree was first given to the man before the woman was even created. We find in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, we are told, about not eating that fruit. And therefore, when the woman was made by God and given to the man in marriage, it was the man's responsibility to teach her the command that God had given him and lead her in obedience to God. And yet we find that when the serpent comes and deceives the woman, the man fails to fulfill his role as head. Instead, he stands by and watches as the situation plays out. And then he allows that woman to persuade him to participate in disobeying God, according to verse 6 of chapter 3. It must not go unnoticed that while the woman ate the forbidden fruit first, it was the man whom the Lord God first called to account. It was the man whom God sought out and for whom God called when he came to the garden in Genesis 3, verse 9. The Lord God called to the man, we are told specifically. It was the man whom God first asked if he had eaten the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3:11. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Every one of those yous is second person, masculine, singular, for you grammar nuts. He was only speaking to Adam, not to Eve. And that's because the Lord God had entrusted the man with headship of his home from the very beginning, which meant that the buck stopped with him. He bore the primary, he bore the ultimate responsibility for what took place in that home. Now, this does not mean that the wife and children bear no responsibility at all. I think that is obvious when we come here to Colossians chapter 3 and find the commands to wives and children that are found right here. But what it does mean is that when we come to passages such as Colossians 3:18 and the ones that follow this verse, we who are husbands and prospective husbands ought to read and we ought to hear them very soberly and seriously. Solemnly. Not so much because of what they say to our wives, but because of the reminder given to us of our weighty duty and responsibility as heads of our households. Our wives are responsible to submit to us as their heads. But get this. We husbands are responsible for the kind of headship to which they submit. That is heavy. Therefore, hearing a message about the wife's responsibility to submit should lead us as husbands or prospective husbands to almost tremble in light of the responsibility that we bear. The reality of the weighty duty that is ours as husbands should also help wives better understand the command that we find in Colossians 3:18. It should help wives realize that the command to submit to your husbands is not some onerous, burdensome duty that is placed upon you by God because he's trying to make life difficult for you. That's not the case. It should help wives realize that this command to submit to your husbands is not a punishment from the fall into sin. Rather, this command, wives, submit to your husbands, is grounded in God's purpose for creating woman. A purpose established before the fall into sin ever took place. This command, wives, submit to your husbands, is the Lord's instruction as to how you as a wife can truly fulfill your role as the helper and companion of your husband. That's why God made you, according to Genesis 2:18. It is not good for the man to be alone, God said. I will make him a helper suitable for him. This command of Colossians 3:18 is the Lord's instruction as to how you as a wife can worshipfully live out the truth that Christ is all. That you aren't all. Your husband isn't all. Your children aren't all. Christ is all. And this is how you live that out. This is the Lord's instruction as to how you as a wife can worshipfully, joyfully mirror the submission of our Lord Jesus Christ himself in coming to this earth and living here. This is how you can let the peace of Christ rule your heart. This is how you can let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. This is how you can do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the point of this command is that wives who see that Christ is all will properly submit to your husbands in the Lord. Let's examine that concept by viewing it from a twofold perspective. First of all, by noting the nature of a wife's submission. Let's start by looking at the very word submit here in our text. Wives, submit to your husbands. As originally written, that word is a compound word composed of two elements. There is a prefix consisting of a preposition that means under. And then there is a word that comes from a verb that means to place, to put. So you combine those two concepts, those two elements, and we have a word which speaks of placing someone under another person. Usually it's going to refer to placing someone under another person's authority. It is obvious that this submission can be either a forced submission or what we could call a voluntary submission. A good example of forced submission is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. When Christ's disciples come back to him, expressing their wonder, expressing their amazement that the demons are subject, they said. They're subject to us in your name. That word subject is the same Greek word that we're dealing with that we are using the English word submit. Clearly here, the demons were not voluntarily submitting to these disciples, nor to the name of Jesus. Their submission was forced upon them by and because of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, which he had delegated to these disciples in sending them out to minister. On the other hand, we find an amazing example of voluntary submission also in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verse 51, where we find that Jesus Christ, God become man, the Word who became flesh, willingly submits himself to Mary and Joseph while growing up in their home. We read in Luke 2:51 that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Here's an example which, when viewed seriously and deeply, should have a huge impact on all of us in our understanding of and our attitude towards submission in any and every area of our lives involving that duty, because we all have the responsibility to submit in different aspects of life. After all, Jesus' voluntary submission to Joseph and his mother was obviously not based on any concept of inferiority as opposed to superiority. If anything, Jesus was the superior one. But here he is submitting. Nor was this submission of Jesus based on any concept of ability versus inability. Those are not factors in Christ's call for submission. So when we come back to our text here of Colossians 3, verse 18, we need to ask the question of whether the submission called for is forced or voluntary. There are many who want to view it as a forced submission. After all, this verse is a command. And many choose to think that any time a command is given, it's a matter of forced submission. Unless, of course, they're the ones giving the command. Then they don't want to seem like such lording it over you type of people. But we need to pay close attention to two details about this command to submit here in Colossians 3:18. The first being that it is a call to wives to submit yourselves to your husbands. It is not a forced submission that you are made to do whether you like it or not, like the demons were forced. Rather, this is a voluntary submission that you are called to practice intentionally as an act of your will in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second detail we need to note here is that this is a call from the Lord for wives to submit to husbands. It is a call to wives to purposefully, worshipfully live out your submission to the Lord Jesus Christ by submitting to your husbands, because it is Christ's command. Colossians 3:18 is not a command originating in the mind of the Apostle Paul, like some people are trying to tell us. Rather, it is Scripture. It is the very Word of God which the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write in order to teach and reprove and correct and instruct in righteous living. In other words, one's response to scriptural commands such as this first and foremost reveals a person's relationship with and attitude toward the Lord. The Lord is here giving every wife the opportunity to willfully, deliberately show her submission to him and her love for him, by willingly and deliberately placing herself under her husband's authority. This submission as a wife to your husband is the primary way in which you are his God-ordained helper. It is not the only way, for sure, but it is most certainly to be considered the primary way. That's evident from the consistency with which submission is commanded and emphasized when the wife's relationship to her husband is addressed in Scripture. Not only here in Colossians 3:18, but also in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Titus chapter 2, sometime back, John took us through here. And in Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, older women are told to train the young women to be in part submissive to their own husbands. And finally, the Apostle Peter gets in on the act in 1 Peter 3:7 and says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. There's a reason this is coming up so frequently and so clearly and emphatically. And one of those reasons is because nothing on earth is more helpful to a husband who is leading the home in worshiping and serving and following the Lord than a wife who purposefully places herself under his headship. A wife who yields to and who energetically follows through on her husband's decisions, even when they may not be what she thinks is best, even when they may not be what she advised when the matter was discussed between them. Nothing on earth is more helpful to a husband than a wife who lets her husband know regularly and clearly that she wants to follow the Lord together with him, hand in hand, rather than making the marriage a matter of what I want versus what you want. Nothing on earth is more helpful to a husband than a wife who does so submit, not grudgingly, but from a heart which supremely loves and honors and submits to the Lord. And therefore, truly loves and honors and submits to her husband. And may I add that nothing on earth is more impactful on a husband who is disobedient to the Lord than a wife who purposefully places herself under his headship as an act of worship and obedience to the Lord, who is all, and does so for the sake of the gospel. Obeying her husband as often as she can without violating God's will and God's word. Respecting her husband, honoring him as her husband, loving her husband, seeking to help him in every way that honors the Lord. It is important to observe that the submission called for here on the part of the wife is a submission only to one's own husband. While this truth is evident in Colossians 3:18, it is made even more clear and given even more emphasis in Ephesians 5, verse 22, where the Holy Spirit said through the same apostle, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And the same clarity and the same emphasis are found in 1 Peter 3:1. Peter said, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. It's important to note that, important to observe that and keep that in mind, that the submission called for on the part of a wife as a wife is only submission to her own husband for at least two reasons. First, to make it clear that this is not a male-female matter in which all females are called to submit to all males. Authority is not given by God to make males as males over females as females. Rather, the wife submits to her husband simply because the Lord has designated the husband as the head of the marriage, the head of the household. Secondly, this is important to remember, to remind every wife that there was a definite, marked change in the direction of your submission the day that you said your wedding vows. Steve lost some authority yesterday. The day you married, wives, the day you married, you were no longer under the authority of your father as your head. The day you became a wife, you committed to submit instead to the God-delegated authority of your husband as your head. Much more can be said about submission in each of these aspects, and additional ones as well. But let's follow the lead of our text in Colossians 3:18 and consider next the motive for a wife's submission. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Here the motive for a wife submitting to her husband is because it is fitting in the Lord. The word fitting speaks of that which is appropriate, that which is proper, that which is suitable for the situation. So what's the situation which makes a wife, a Christian wife's purposeful submission to her husband, the appropriate, proper, suitable thing for her to do? Well, the answer to that question is wrapped up in the phrase, in the Lord. Submission to one's husband as a Christian wife is particularly appropriate, particularly suitable for her to do so as one who is in Christ, as one who is united with Christ, as one who is belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore seeking to honor the Lord and actively serve the Lord. In other words, if you haven't gotten it yet in this series from Colossians, get it now. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who perfectly patterned submission. He patterned it in his submission to Mary and Joseph, as we pointed out a few moments ago in Luke 2:51. He patterned it in his submission to human government authority, even though that governmental authority was ordained by him. Even though that governmental authority acted in blatant rebellion against him and against God the Father who had sent him, Jesus still submitted. He paid taxes in Matthew 17. And he allowed himself, this is the one that boggles my mind, he allowed himself to be put on trial, wrongful trial. But most importantly, Jesus patterned submission by submission to God the Father in his earthly life. A voluntary submission climaxing in his earthly life in his final acceptance of the most difficult, the most painful, the most heart-rending task ever undertaken by a human being. Bearing the wrath of God and crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He expressed that submission in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we read him saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Again, in verse 42, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Furthermore, it is in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Christian wife submits to her husband. Don't lose sight of the context as we take these applications of Colossians 3 verse by verse from now on. Don't lose sight of the fact that in the closest preceding verse to our text, the admonition there in verse 17 was, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the very first example of what is to be done in the name of Christ is the wife submitting to her husband. That needs to be taken into account and viewed as a very weighty matter. Also, though, don't lose sight of the fact that this command to wives to submit to your husbands is connected with what we have seen previously here in Colossians 3. It is one result of seeking and setting your minds on the things that are above, since you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, as we saw back in verses 2 and 3. When you submit to your husband with a godly attitude, what you're doing is putting off the old self and putting on the new self about which verses 5 through 14 exhorts us all. When you submit to your husband as the outworking of trusting Christ, you are letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart, as we see in verse 15. Finally, don't lose sight of the fact that this call to submit to your husband is in response to the glorious truths that we've seen about Jesus Christ throughout this letter of Colossians. It is in Christ Jesus, the Lord, in whom you were redeemed and through whom you were forgiven. It is in him that you submit to your husband. So don't lose sight of chapter 1, verse 14. Don't lose sight of chapter 1, verse 15, because it's in response to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God and supreme over all creation, that you submit to your husband. It's in response to Christ Jesus, the Lord, as the sphere and the agent and the goal of creation, that you submit to your husband. Chapter 1, verse 16. And it is in Christ Jesus, the Lord, who is the head of his body, the church, and who is the firstborn from the dead. It's in him that you submit to your husband. So much more can be said about this subject. We could talk about how vital a wife's submission to her husband is in the matter of child rearing and training. We could talk about how important a wife's submission to her husband is in the body life of the church. We could talk about the role of a wife as a teacher and trainer of younger wives in connection with loving and submitting to their husbands. But I'm not going to keep you all night. For today, we'll stick with the emphasis of our text and let that sink in and apply that to daily life with one additional thought, which is the realization that what is being called for on the part of wives, I recognize, is not easy. However, it is crucial to realize that what makes submission difficult is not the command itself, which is pure and holy and right. What makes it difficult, rather, is the sin within, which leads one to question and doubt and argue and even deny and rebel against the Lord's command. The difficulty that started in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the human race. The fall of man into sin shows that the sinful heart is what makes submission difficult and what leads wives to refuse to submit to their husbands. But that is a big part of the point here in Colossians, because Christ is all. Because Christ is all, we are able to overcome sin when we are in Christ. We are able to overcome him as those who are in him and as those in whom his Spirit dwells. In other words, it is the beauty of Christ, It is the sufficiency of Christ. It is the power of Christ in redemption, which makes it possible for Christian wives to submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Your submission to your husband evidences the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to your family, to the church, and to the world. Heavenly Father, may we see more clearly than ever that Christ is all. And then may we live it out in every area of our lives where you have spoken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.